runs out of bounds.
All right, we're going to go back to what we've been studying for a while, the last day scriptures. So we're going to spend some time in the Old Testament. Go to Joel chapter 2.
Joel?
Joel.
Two after that.
Chapter 2, verse 28. Let's go instead to chapter 2, verse 28. Okay, the first, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 13. Gird yourselves and lament. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from thee because of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto me, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty God shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness are far from the house of our Lord, our God. The seed is rotten under the clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture, and the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Now you understand that this is another kind of, when it talks about the sheep are desolate and it applies to us. The reason I said that is what we're going to read next. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures, and the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the drop of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Lest all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now, we can read these scriptures as a historical picture of what took place. But we, in order for us to come to that end of ourselves, we have to read these scriptures as though they're talking to us at this time. Amen? All right. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong
A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?
Okay. That's kind of a scary thing. But it's all and always, whenever we read this, these kinds of things in this end times, it's always, always call for us to repent. Now, what do we repent of? We repent of going our own ways instead of His way. And if you don't see this, then this is just like reading a comic book or something. Everybody understand that a little bit? All right, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Start in 22. Remember that there was a series of kings in Jeremiah, and the one king, Josiah, remember, he's one of them that was like 8 years old when he sat on the throne, and then he, when he was not even about 20, he's still in his teens, they brought the book of the law to him, and he read it, and he repented. Now, did he repent because they hadn't kept the law, or did they repent because they were building their own house, i.e. They were everything about, was it Manasseh before Jeremiah? Before Josiah? Anyway,
I can't remember.
Manasseh is the guy that set up two golden calves in the temple. Now, what did that mean? What does it mean to us?
It means making up your own religion.
Hmm?
It means making up your own religion. Making it a religion that makes you happy, not that makes God happy.
Yeah, and the two golden calves are double what they,
what they did in the wilderness when they were made the first golden calf.
Yeah, they built one golden calf, and now they built two.
Where you got your own, your religion of the world and your religion of the spirit world.
Well, from all these books that I've read now for the last month, several months, more than a month probably. Anyway, it always is about that the people did not see everything in the Old Testament as a parable on the revelation of Christ. And so, to me, the idea of setting up two golden calves in the temple itself was the biggest blasphemy that they could have, because they're doubling their ideas of self-realization. And Josiah's call for repentance just was the same as Hezekiah's call, and both had two of the greatest Passovers that have ever been, because they saw the parable. Now, to see the parable of the mystery of Christ in the Old Testament is far scarier than having kept, whether you kept, try to keep the law or not. Because in trying to keep the law, the evil one is great with that. Because he'll always cause you to fall short, so you're always walking in guilt. He'll play with your mind in the midnight hour, and all kinds of evil is expressed internally. And so the idea of building two golden in the altar, I mean in the temple, is what we do when we still are walking in self-seeking and excusing our sin, never confessing it. It's that whole array of what, it's all the things that should have produced in us our death and his resurrection are all still keeping you alive. And it's the same with the Old Testament. That's what happened.
I think having two, I'm just kidding me, I may have been.
Let's talk a little bit higher. Wait until you get your nuts broken by your
right.
teeth.
May not be right, but I was thinking the reason that two is exceptionally bad is that when you're trying to follow the law and you can't, you can always go to the other one and maybe you can follow a little piece of it there. And so you never really come to repentance because you're always finding something that you're doing that you think is right.
Yeah, no question.
As opposed to dying.
Yeah. As opposed to, it's not as opposed to dying per se. It's opposed to death that already happened. And we don't, That's where we get into most trouble, because we don't understand at the cross one died for all are dead. The human race is dead. Adam, Jesus Christ, was the last Adam. So who is this guy? Who's this thing in here? I'm just constantly trying to keep you in the picture. Well, it's the evil one. And it's hard for us to conceive that this wonderful mind that has given me so much pleasure is a minion, one of the thousands, millions of minions of the Satan. And we've set up in the temple of God far worse than the two. The two golden calf just cause us to behave differently. You can repent of that. But you can't. If you don't see yourself as dead, I don't know how you can repent of it. I mean, if you can't see, I said that wrong, you can't see yourself as dead as long as you think that something good is coming from it. Understand that a little bit? I understood it really good back when the days of trying to prove everything wrong in the scriptures. But I don't want you to hear this and read these end time things and not see it as this incredible call to repentance to all of us. But again, we're in this crazy system that only the poor can hear his voice. Only those who have no more interest in the world or the world system can hear. Because otherwise you will always put yourself into the picture some way. And so God, obviously, he can do whatever he wants. But this is different because we are now in the same place that Christ was when he was born as Son of Man and Son of God. He passed the test. And his baptism was his death. And he was no longer Son of Man because he died as Son of Man. He rose as Son of God. The only way that you can realize the same thing, you continue with him in his test, is to see that. Otherwise, there will always be something that you should do. And you don't even question it. I mean, I can make fun of you for having sports as, well, I don't know why I picked on Jeff. But, okay. But I mean, if you're going to have something to give importance to, then it might as well just be sports or sex or drinks or alcohol or any of the other myriad of things. Then it can be all the good things. Providing for your family.
Serving God, whatever you think that is, because that's the whole meaning of
the what?
When I, it should be serving God, however you believe that to be, because that's the whole point of what Paul said when he said, when I want to do good, evil is present within me.
No, the evil one is present as well, so that's true.
Works the same either way.
Yeah. But the evil one is more, it's shooting a sniper rifle. And it's got to be precise. So all the wind currents have to be taken into account. Number of feet to the, endless. So, and when we repent for a while, but we don't let that bullet that's supposed to kill us, because he's, it's not that it's supposed to kill us, it's we don't see that it already has killed us. And so we justify using every tool of the world. But these scriptures that we're going to, I took another little side trip here, but it's always a call to repentance. And you can say, well, God has to show me that. Well, to me, it's shown in every word of the Bible. One died for all are dead. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth. Christ liveth in me. But he doesn't live again. We can't even accept this one. His humility, just as the humility of the Father and the humility of this Holy Spirit, the humility of Christ is so intense that he will not occupy where you are. Well, that's massive. Because then we can go blithely on our way and we think that everything we're doing is of God. When in actuality, nothing is of God. Well, it's of God, but it's the wrong God. And this is why the preaching of the cross is, I mean, thankfully it's not the whole world that hated me, but there are a lot of people that hate me. And there's no merit in that. But it's like
I pray for them just as much as I would pray for anybody else. I don't think they're praying for me. So consider these things. Again, we're going to spend however long it takes to look at these end time scriptures and see that, in fact, all the Bible are end time scriptures. We're not going to do the whole thing, but whatever I decided. And if you want to study another scripture about end time, let us know and we'll bring it forth, okay?
All right,
consider these things. Anybody have any responses to anything?
One other thing, and that's that when we went past that verse in Joel, I think it was 14, it said, the Lord may repent and he would lead a sacrifice and a meat offering in his temple. That to me is really interesting because, you know, it's once again, it's the Lord who gives repentance. It's the Lord who gives all these things. These don't occur from within you. You know, they occur in spite of you.
One of the scriptures that we're going to read, I'm billboarding here, is about when the blood seethed in the temple for 253 years, they tried everything in the world to cause the blood to cease seething. And that's what happens in us. We don't see the blood is seething in us. And it should be a call to the same thing that was given back at that. That the prophet was killed because, if you really look at what he was saying, he preached the cross. All right. Anything? So everybody understands perfectly. Take a big breath.